let me just say a couple of things about this current issue of the day, which is, of course, the proposal by the Secretary of the Treasury and the administration for this very large $700 billion bailout for the financial sector. I think it's unclear precisely what action Congress is going to take this week on the proposal. I know there's a hearing going on at this very time where the need for the proposal is being discussed, and the specifics of it are also being discussed. I think most people are anxious to cooperate. Most people in Congress that I'm aware of are anxious to cooperate with the administration in taking appropriate action to be sure that the financial sector is stabilized, but at the same time, we do not want to be rewarding irresponsible behavior that's occurred in the past or irresponsible behavior that might occur in the future. And we also need to see to it that individual Americans who are seeing their homes foreclosed upon are in some significant way benefited from the action that we take. So that's, and of course, the ultimate concern is that the taxpayer not have to bear any part of the cost of this that is not absolutely necessary. So that's the that's where the discussion is right now, and whether or not we pass something this week or come back in a week and try at that time to pass something, I'm just not certain. Let me just jump in and let you folks ask questions about that or any other subject. I guess, Craig Kennedy, are you there with KOB?
Yes, Senator, thank you. Well, what do you want out of this bailout plan? What would you like to see? And do you think that it will come through essentially clean?
Well, of course, everyone's got a different definition of clean. My own thought is that we need, if we're going to do some kind of bailout plan, it needs to be one that is constructed so that the taxpayer is put at the least risk possible, and also needs to be one that is constructed so that average Americans benefit directly from the plan, and this is not just a propping up of institutions in on Wall Street that have been gaming the system here for years. And obviously, one of the other concerns is this whole issue of executive compensation. People understandably don't want to see taxpayer dollars go to supporting institutions that then turn around and reward their chief executives with multi-million dollar bonuses on the backs of the taxpayer. So all of those are valid concerns, I think that we're trying to learn enough about this to know whether or not the proposal would, in fact, stabilize markets and accomplish those other objectives as well.
Senator, and I did ask Senator Domenici yesterday, I'll ask you, under the circumstances, aren't we essentially telling American public, get ready for a tax increase at some point?
Well, frankly, we have been pursuing for the last 7.5 years irresponsible fiscal policy here in Washington. We've cut taxes much more than we could have afforded to. Particularly, we cut taxes substantially for the wealthy, and that was a major debate early in the Bush administration. But of course, the president's proposals there prevailed. There's no doubt that some of the decisions, particularly with regard to those tax cuts for the wealthy, are going to be revisited in a new Congress and in a new administration. At least I hope that those issues get revisited. Getting the country back on a sound fiscal footing is a major priority for the country and for the next president. It needs to be.
Thank you, Senator.
Uh-huh. John West, are you there?
I am. Good afternoon, Senator. I'm curious what role you think the federal government should have in regards to oversight of the banks that are basically being bailed out here. I'm also curious about some language in the proposal, as I understand it, that allows the Treasury Department and the Secretary of the Treasury basically at their discretion to bail out overseas banks using U.S. taxpayers' dollars. And I'm wondering if there is even enough time to get all of the possible issues with this bill ironed out before Congress recesses or adjourns?
Well, I don't know the answers to all the questions you've posed. I guess my thought is that we need a high level of accountability and oversight by the Congress as to what is going on here. I think that the inadequate requirements on these financial institutions in the past have contributed substantially to getting us to this point. As far as foreign banks are concerned, I do not believe we should be bailing out foreign banks, but I do think we need to put in place a system that will ensure that the financial system, the ability of lending institutions to loan money to average Americans to buy homes and cars and other normal activities, that those that credit can once again flow. So that's the objective.
Thank you.
Bill Dupuy.
Yes. Good morning.
Good morning.
This is a complicated thing. You haven't seen the documentation on it. It's a brief outline at this point. What we have heard, however, one estimate puts the burden on Americans at more than $2,000 per person, not per family, per person. That's a large burden, however it's paid back, either in decreased services or increased taxes. Only one person I've heard of has called for punishment of the people who took liberty with American dollars. That's the French president. He says these people should be held accountable and punished. What's your mood on that?
Well, I think it's easy to say, and obviously if we could identify some individuals that we could point to, that would be a great course to follow. The basic problem, as I understand it, is that we have had lax regulation, inadequate and non-existent regulation of much of the financial sector. They have, over the course of some period here, they have been engaged in making loans of funds to people who were not able to pay those funds back. And then they take those mortgages and they package them up and sell them off as securities to various financial institutions. So the blame, I think, ultimately comes down to the failure to properly regulate the lending of money by financial institutions in the subprime mortgages in particular. That's an area where it's hard to identify a particular person and say, okay, let's string this person up by their thumbs, and that'll solve the problem. It's not that simple, unfortunately.
But isn't that exactly what happened to American consumers? The administration pushed for and got a ban on easy bankruptcy proceedings for ordinary people, thus hanging them up by their thumbs when they were over-leveraged. It's very easy to see that these bankers were leveraged 35-1, and there could be no testimony in court that would protect them from the charge that they were over-leveraged on purpose.
No, I think that's accurate. I think that many of them have been over-leveraged. And I think that what has caused the financial crisis at the bottom of it is the fact that many of the assets that they did hold were these assets that were not worth much because of the way they were put together. That is, mortgages which were provided to people who were not able to pay back the amount that was borrowed. And that's a circumstance that should have been regulated at the time the loan was made. It was not. And the lack of regulation of those lenders, I think, is the core problem.
If it came to it, would you be in favor of prosecuting the CEOs who led this over-leveraged situation that led to the demise of Wall Street?
Well, again, I think you have to figure out exactly what you would prosecute someone for. What is the action? What is the action or the inaction that you believe rises to the level of criminal conduct, and I'm not I'm not sufficiently informed to tell you that precisely what that action is at this time. So I'm not one that's calling for criminal prosecutions of actions that I can't define.
Okay, thanks.
Craig, are you still there?
I am, Senator. Nothing further right now.
Okay. John, did you have anything else?
Yes, I do, Senator. Just really quickly, I know it seems like it may have gotten knocked off track in the last day or two, but I'm wondering, as I understand it, the moratorium on offshore drilling is set to expire next Tuesday. The Journal yesterday morning had, I believe, a quote from you saying something to the effect that you thought the chances for passage of an energy bill providing for a 50-mile buffer on offshore drilling had a pretty good chance of passage and being signed into law. And I'm wondering how you feel about the energy bill and energy policy in general for the remainder of this particular session before Congress goes home.
Well, I didn't see the article in the Albuquerque Journal that you refer to, but if it said that I thought there was a good chance we would pass something that it contained a 50-mile buffer, then it was wrong. I don't think that. I think it's more likely that the Congress will pass a continuing resolution to keep the government functioning. It will not contain in it any moratorium on offshore drilling at this time. And that's the way that issue will be resolved, at least for the time being. Now, we may well come back in a new Congress and once again debate whether there ought to be some buffer, a 50-mile buffer or a shorter buffer, a smaller buffer on our coasts in which area there would not be drilling permitted. But I don't think that would happen during this Congress. I mean, before we adjourn this session of this Congress.
Thank you.
Hey, Senator, Evan Woodward here. I joined the call late.
Oh, hi, Evan. How are you?
I'm doing well. Sorry about that. We had some technical issues on our end. Have you already talked about the renewables vote that's going to happen today?
No, I haven't. We have a vote on this package of renewable tax provisions that we're trying to extend. Coming up after lunch today, I think there's going to be enough support to pass it through the Senate. Finally, we have agreement by both Democrats and Republicans now that this package of tax extenders ought to be enacted. There's still some question as to what the House of Representatives is going to do. The Republicans here in the Senate have refused to agree to offsetting significant portions of the overall package, and so that's still in debate. But I hope that we can pass it through the Senate with a strong vote, and I hope that the House will concede that this is the best they can do and go ahead and send it to the President for signature.
And the Senate's sort of been where this bill has not been able to get through. So what's different about it this time that you think it'll pass and through the Senate?
Well, I think the thing that's different is that some of the key Republicans who have resisted it in the past have now agreed to support the package. And so I think this is either the 8th or the 12th time we've brought this up for a vote, and it's been blocked. This time, I believe the votes are going to be there to get it above the 60-vote threshold that we need to pass it.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Bill, do you have another question?
Yeah, I do. The question is about this credit crunch has hurt the market for municipal bonds, but you've got legislation that might help that. How would that work?
Well, this is a bill we call the Municipal Bond Market Support Act. And what it does is it tries to ensure that local governments, state governments, county governments that have relied on bonds to pay for their infrastructure, that is hospitals, public roads, housing, that they have the bonding capacity to cover all of these items. That's essentially what the legislation does. It's legislation that I don't think is going to be passed in this session of Congress because we haven't had time to build the support for it and get it into the mix. But in the next session of Congress, I think we will succeed with it. And it's legislation that the counties, both in New Mexico and nationally, strongly support. And I believe it'll be a step in the right direction.
Are you calling for government support of these bonds so that the interest rates that local municipalities have to pay wouldn't be too high?
Yes, essentially saying that that the government will allow for the issuance of these bonds and will allow the municipalities and the counties to benefit from the low interest rate that is enjoyed by municipal bonds for all of this infrastructure, some of which is not now qualifying.
Okay, thanks.
Uh-huh. Let me see. John, did you have another question?
I think that's all for me today. Thank you.
Okay. Evan, how about you?
Yeah, Senator, and I'm sorry to ask you to repeat yourself, but I kind of came in during your answer to the question. Are you saying that it's a little too early to know if President Bush's economic plan is going to work and how you'll vote on it?
Yes, I did say that. I think it is too soon to know exactly how it will work. It's also too soon to know how I would wind up voting on the package. I think the details of how the package would operate, what the accountability provisions would be in it, how the issue of executive compensation for companies that took advantage of this would work. All of those are questions that we don't really have the answers to yet.
And I know that there was a push this morning asking Congress to act really quickly on this matter. When do you think we'll see votes on this?
I don't know if we'll see votes later this week or if the majority leader and the speaker will decide that the complexity of this issue is such that we need to take off for the weekend and the beginning of next week and come back next week to try to make some judgments.
Thank you for your time, Senator.
Uh-huh. Anybody else have another question? If not, thank you all for talking with me. Appreciate it. Bye-bye.
Thank you.